Mm-hmm. It wasn't as strong.
Well, now, we don't really don't have good leadership at all. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the fault of the party, but the party's still been successful in spite of it in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you've known governors.
Yes.
It's so hard for me to zone in on the people. I just wonder if you have any, like, little incidents that you could tell us that might help us to see them as people.
Well, I've only known the Democratic governors. I, of course, know the present governor, Casey. I knew Governor Schaaf before then. I knew Governor Leader when he was a governor. Governor Leader was a young man. He was one of the youngest governors that the state ever had. But he was then close to my age when he was governor, and we had a great time. He was a wonderful young man. He then chose not to run again. So he'd get out of politics altogether. He's now running nursing homes. Mm-hmm. But he'd get out altogether, but he was a great guy.
Uh-huh. Was he interested even then in helping the elderly?
Not really. He only served one term. And he found it very difficult because I think he didn't have experience, and he was a young man. And you really have to persevere, especially as a governor. And I think he just felt it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds politics sounds glamorous, but it isn't. It's hard work. It's day and night work, and it's somewhat demeaning. You know, you have to be an egotist to say, well, I'm better than the next guy. You people ought to vote for me. It really isn't. It isn't glamorous at all, and it's not easy.
No. Well, can you tell us maybe a typical day of how you spend your day, maybe?
Well, it depends upon what. Most days, I'm always in here by 8 o'clock every morning. Mm-hmm. I even get my hair done at 6:30 in the morning. Every Tuesday, because I sometimes find I can't get to it in the daytime. I can't make an appointment because something happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing I do, of course, is check up on my correspondence and messages that I have from the day before and line them all up. Write everything down. I keep everything in the notebook. Everybody I have to call and everything I have to do. And as I make those calls during the day, by 9 o'clock, then the rest of the office shows up. And then I go over the day. If we're having a meeting that day, if we're having a hearing that day, I go over with them what the meeting's about, who's coming in, what I should know about it. I go over whatever business we have that day. Now, if the meeting's at 10 o'clock, it usually isn't over until 12:30. Very often we have a meeting in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. If it's a day when we don't have a meeting, then I come back here and then I make my calls and write my letters and do all of those things. Then I beat it home and get dinner for my husband, and then 5 nights out of 7, I have some place to go. Either it's a political meeting or a social, there's some ribbon cutting or something that's going on at night that I feel I should go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to so many affairs, so many banquets in the hotels that the maitre d', all the maitre d's know me. And they know what I like and what I don't like. And they know, of course, not to give me milk with meat and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a typical day, but every day is different. On days that we don't have meetings, then tomorrow there's something going on at noon down at the Station Square. I have to go down and welcome them to the city. Something's going on tomorrow at noon. I have to get that out and see what it's all about. I'll do that in the morning. Maybe there's a ribbon cutting for some big business that's coming to Pittsburgh. And the ribbon cutting is at noon or 2 o'clock or something like that, and I go to that. Plus, I'm on so many boards and committees, and there's always something going on with those sometime during every day.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting life.
Not at all. Not at all.
Thank God for that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us anything about the struggles between the mayor and council?
They're legion. We have some members of council who would like to be mayor. And no matter what the mayor does or says, they oppose, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And that's a call. They blame him for everything from snowstorms to hailstorms, even though he really isn't to blame. You see, you only have so much tax dollars and so many places to put it. And actually, The average taxpayer is getting a lot for his tax dollars. And you may not think so. The average person doesn't think so, but you do. You get police protection, fire protection, and all of these activities for senior citizens and for children and recreation and the zoo. And we have all of these institutions in Oakland that don't pay taxes, they're tax exempt, that the city actually supports for the benefit of the people. And we're the only major city that has parks within the city limits. Shenley and Highland and Riverview Parks. These are all things you need, your garbage collection, your street cleaning. And these are all things you get for your tax dollar that you really don't realize. The average person thinks he isn't getting a thing from his dollars, but they're intangibles. They're things that you don't see. But they're there, and you get them, and it would be a terrible place if they weren't provided for you. So that the mayor has a constant struggle, and as I said, he has a struggle with council all the time because there are some who have different ideas than him. And would like to fight all the time for the publicity benefits, for self-aggrandizement, for whatever reason. As for myself, I prefer to work within the system. I have found that I can accomplish so much more for my constituents and for people that I want to help, that I can do much better working within the system. And I consider the mayor one of my best friends. I can go to him for anything and get him. And I've been able to do that. I think I told you before, I'm very, very partial to Jewish organizations and to Jewish people. And when any Jewish organization is in trouble and needs anything, I can go to the mayor and he does it for me right off. With least amount of publicity and least, it isn't a good idea to advertise what you're doing for Jews. So I prefer to go in the back door and get things done.
Can you think of some instances?
About once a month, some shul has some affair, and they have a backlog of garbage. Now, actually, you see, their private institutions are supposed to take care of their own disposal. Mm-hmm. But I can call the environmental people up at 8:00. They go out to Beth Shore and go to this river, pick up some trash out there. They go right out within the hour so that it doesn't. So that it doesn't accumulate. When Montefiore Hospital needed a variance, I was able to help them do that. When the UJF on the Key Place took over the building next door and they needed a variance, I was able to do those things for them. All kinds of, just a lot of little things that go on. Several years ago, when there was federal money, I was able to get some federal money for Hillel Academy so they could hire some extra help that nobody knew about. Because if they did, then everybody in Pittsburgh would want some of that money, you know. But you see, there's a big advantage to being a senior member, and I am now the oldest member here, and I know just exactly where to go. And a lot of the department heads are good friends of mine, because I haven't harassed them, I haven't given them a hard time, I've tried to be cooperative, and I can go to them and ask for most anything, and they help me. And that's an advantage, because I'm able to help as many people as I can.
Yes, that's right. In other words, the whole building, you know, people all over the building and where they are and who specifically to ask for help.
That's the problem with most people. They don't know who to go to. They could probably maybe do the same thing, but you have to know the exact person that can do that for you. And I've not been able to do that. And as I said, they've all been friends of mine through the years. And I can call and ask them to do most anything. If anything, from a little thing to a big thing, they've done for me. And I'm real proud of that because I'm partial to the Jewish community and what I can do for them.
Mm-hmm. It was unfortunate somebody like you.
Yeah, we do. Well, plus the fact that I volunteer for every project that comes along. As I told you before, I went to Russia 2 years ago for Soviet Jewry. And I do everything that anybody, I volunteer for anything. No matter what they ask me to do, I volunteer for. I go on the telethon every year, and I'm on every fundraiser. I help the History Dutch sell tickets for their affair. Whatever they ask me to do, I do it. I find that's more important than anything.
Can you think of any way that maybe you have to, maybe the American Jewish Congress or the Nate Griffin Anti-Defamation League
Well, I'm a member of the Anti-Defamation League. Yes, one of the things that happened on cable, we had an extremely anti-Semitic program. And this is just recent, maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And it made the papers. And it was all carelessness. The people who were supposed to watch the program, who were supposed to watch it and fall asleep at the switch, just didn't bother. And some awful inflammatory remarks were made. Well, I got on that right away. And we got the Anti-Defamation, and we had them taken off right away. As I said, I'm a member of the Anti-Defamation League, too. And I sort of kind of watch where we had recently had this business with the menorah in front of the building last year, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of that. And I went to the mayor with my side of the story, and he was glad to have somebody that he could talk to that wasn't biased. You know, they could look at it from both sides. And I did, because I'm an Orthodox Jew myself, and I could see how they'd feel about it, and I also could see how the civil liberties felt about it.
The placing of the crèche of the
city. Yes, that's exactly. Well, see, we didn't have the crèche in the city. The crèche was in the courthouse. What happened was that they wanted to put a menorah, and they did. They put a menorah up in front of the building. The Civil Liberties Union said that shouldn't be there. That should come down because that was a religious symbol. And there was a lot of I finally went to court, you know, it was a court case. But at the time, I said to the mayor, oh, leave it up there. I don't think it's all that inflammatory. So that there's just little things like that.
Mm-hmm. Were there people in council there who wanted the crèche? I suppose there was like arguing.
We had a big discussion about it.
Yeah.
There's some for and against. We have some extreme liberals. As I said, I'm an Orthodox Jew, and I'm very sentimental. And I thought there was no reason why I couldn't stay, and I thought it was a tempest in the teapot anyhow. I would have making all those more important things. But there were some who thought it should go. We have several who were active members of the civil liberties who thought it should go.
Okay, then. Can you tell us about the other political offices that you've held? You mentioned that when you were at the court, you did things.
Well, I told you all of this before. I know I was president of the Pennsylvania Federation of Democratic Women. I was a committee woman in my own district. Secretary of the Democratic Women Guild of Allegheny County. I've been a delegate to almost every national convention politically.
Can you tell us anything about the people that you meet, or something that, or some incidences maybe that might be of interest?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to pick out of all the thing of all the people that I've met all of my life, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there are a lot of political figures, and there were. You see, you have to be in politics to realize. Now I have a message from Governor Dukakis of Massachusetts. He wants me to call him. No, I'm not going to call him because I know what he wants. He's looking for supporters all over the country. And there's so many, that goes on every election. If they're candidates for judge, if they're candidates for local offices, then they solicit the help of those that are already in the office, either financially or morally or whatever. And so that every election is unique because there are different group of people running every election for a different office. Supreme Court judges, Superior Court judges.
What do you do at the National Convention?
Well, I'm a delegate and I'm on the floor and I have a vote. And if you've ever watched any of the conventions,
mm-hmm.
They're very, very interesting. They're, for one thing, there's a lot of outside activity going on that's fun. Like the last convention was in San Francisco. Next year it's going to be in Atlanta. It was in San Francisco, and the committee planned a trip to the Napa Valley for us. So that there are lots of fringe benefits besides just the political thing, because all the sessions were in the evening. And during the day, we had the candidates' wives had luncheons for the women delegates, and there were fashion shows and trips around San Francisco. Now, this next year is going to be in Atlanta. Now, I don't know what Atlanta has to offer, but
beautiful city.
Is it? But I know San Francisco is a joy. I've never been there.
Mm-hmm. Let me see now. Some of these, like the Pennsylvania Federation of Democratic Women, what is their purpose? I mean, what
well,
do you
it's,
do?
A, it's a conglomerate of 250 clubs, Democratic women's clubs, all over the state. And then they are all under one umbrella. They get together once a year for a convention, and during the year they have board meetings. But it's sort of a the women's arm of the Democratic Party in Pennsylvania. They have, we have perhaps a total of maybe 8,000 or 9,000 members, because some clubs are larger than others. In some small communities, the Democratic Women's Club is the only social club in the town. And so there are women primarily who are interested in politics, and they form a club, and then we meet in convention once every year, and during the year we send literature, and we have newspaper that goes out every month. And it's just an arm of the Democratic Party. It's the female arm of the party with a big membership and a big arm, and also very prestigious because the men seek us out all the time. They would like to have the support of the Federation in Pennsylvania.
What district are you in now? Before you move, I know you're going.
I'm in the third. I lived in the 15th ward, borderlining Squirrel Hill, for 40 years. Then now I'm in the third ward, which is predominantly black.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm moving back to the 14th ward in October, where I hope to get elected.
Uh-huh. And you're moving going because that's where you're at.
Well, see, up until this year, you were elected at large. And all the council members were elected all over the city at large. Well, then the people foolishly, I think, voted to elect by district, and they're going to live to regret that. Oh, no question about it. I mean, the moment when you see what happens, it's going to be a total disaster, because everybody's going to be elected in their own district. They're not going to care what happens to any other district in the city of Pittsburgh, and it's going to be utter chaos. And I'm going back to Squirrel Hill because that's where I lived all of my life. That's where all my friends are. I don't know who else is going to run. Maybe there'll be somebody there who can beat me. I don't know. But, you know, I have seniority here. I know I think that should count for something. I mean, because I can be a bigger help to the people in Squirrel Hill than some newcomer that they may elect. Now, you know, that may sound egotistical. Maybe they feel, well, it's time to get a young person or get fresh blood. I don't know. That may be the case. I can't tell. I personally feel that it would be to the benefit of Squirrel Hill to elect me, because, you know, I have seniority, and that counts for a lot here, because I can do more than a young person just coming on. It would take him, like it did me, 10 years to learn, you know, how to go about doing things, or who the right people are, or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I will then be back in the 14th ward. I'm moving the 1st of October.
Just wondering. So will somebody like Michelle Maddox?
She's going to run against
back?
Me. Yes.
She'll move back to Ralph.
And she's going to run against me. It'll be a real bloodbath.
I imagine.
She's going to move back.
Too bad.
Whether she can beat me, I don't know. If she can, no power to her, I don't know.
That'd be too bad.
It is too bad.
Yeah. I mean, she's good in her place and you're good in yours. They have two Jewish women on there.
Sure.
And also, you too bad that you're going to have to run against each other.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know how most people know, though, that if you are reelected, you have a chance to be the president of council. I think that would...
Well, that's it, you know. I hope to tell people all these things,
yeah,
and hopefully it'll make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For what activity did you win the John F. Kennedy Award?
Outstanding Women in Politics for that year.
Uh-huh. Can you tell us, what did you do anything specific that maybe?
I don't remember now what happened that year. I think that was the year that I was president of the Federation, and I went all over the state, and we had more clubs affiliated with us that year than ever before in the history of the Federation. And so John F. Kennedy gave me an award for that.
Mm-hmm. All right, and how did you get the humanitarian award from the Young Democrats of the...
That, of course, was also political. They felt that that I did more for the Democratic Party than any other person in that year. I also got a B'nai B'rith award. I got a piece of sculpture from the B'nai B'rith from that same year, I believe.
What did you do for B'nai B'rith? Do you remember?
No. So many things came. I don't remember. As I said, I can't specifically remember what happened that year because I always tried so hard to do everything.
Do you have a scrapbook of everything that you have done?
No. I never kept any of the stuff. Mm-hmm. My kids always say to me, why don't you give us some of the stuff? I have bits and pieces of things everywhere, but not really anything.
In order. And what about the crime, government's crime prevention award from the community?
Yes.
Crime prevention coalition.
It was decided several years ago that it was almost impossible to have a policeman in front of everybody's house. And so we had some federal money, and we set up a block watch, is what it's called. It's very effective in some areas, in others it's not. And basically what it is it's neighbors watching out for other neighbors. Now, in some areas where we have a good block watch program, it's cut down crime considerably. In other areas, they don't have it, and it hasn't made a difference. But it's been a good program and worked in some areas. Now, my problem is to get enough neighborhoods interested in it. Because basically what it is there's people watching out in their neighborhood. If something's wrong, calling the police right away and knowing their neighbors and their neighbors' habits and who's home and who isn't. And if there's a stranger, immediately calling the police, that type of thing. It's not effective at Square Hill. But in some neighborhoods it is. Some wards in Pittsburgh it is. And I worked at that because I thought it was good. I thought it could develop into something. It hasn't been as successful as I would have liked. Because some neighborhoods resist. They just don't want to be bothered. Others pitch in and get groups together and work at it.
But that's good. And the award for meritorious service by the Bon Ami Temple.
That's a black group. Bon Ami Temple is a group of black women, and they were in terrible trouble one year. They needed some money, and they needed some help from the city. And they were a nice group of elderly black people, and I felt sorry for them. And we really ought to help them get on their feet because they were doing such a good job. So I got them some money, an appropriation from the city, and then I personally went to their meetings and spoke to them and encouraged them to be interested and to get out and help each other. So then they gave me an award.
Oh, that's nice. What was the purpose of that group?
Actually, it was a group of black women who felt that they were there was prejudice against them, and I believe there was, and I agreed with them that there was, and I went with them and told them what I thought they could do to help themselves. I spent a lot of time with them trying to help them move ahead and do things for themselves, and it worked out very well for them. They're still in existence. They're still doing well.
And then I see that you had a job as secretary of Electoral College for Carter in 76.
Yes. You know, when Carter was elected, you know, the system is you have to have so many electoral votes. And I was a member of the Electoral College who cast the vote for Carter after the election.
Oh, that's interesting to have such a board and to meet the other people.
And it's sort of a prestigious thing because there are only so many in the Electoral College from each state. I think there were only two or three from Pennsylvania, and I was one of the three.
And then
I sound like I'm bragging. I don't mean to.
It's just part of your life.
Interesting. And what about the appointment by Milton Chapp as a member of the Allegheny Regional Planning Council? As the Governor's Justice Commission.
Yes, there was a Governor's Justice Committee. The Governor appropriated money to every, this legislature appropriated money for every county, the 67 counties in Pennsylvania, to fight crime and to set up programs in every county. Now, some of the programs consisted of helping people in jail, Just any kind of crime. And then we had chiefs of police of everybody in Allegheny County come before the Crime Commission and tell us what they thought we could do in their community to help the crime situation. And so I was a member of that committee who helped disperse the funds all over the state, all over the county, where it could help in crime prevention.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, do the officers, or who comes to you and gives you the information so that you can make the decision?
Well, it's something that you have to work at. We have monthly meetings, and each of these people would come before us and tell us their problems. Then when they'd leave, we would discuss their problems and decide what we thought was the right thing to do. Now, the committee, the commission in Allegheny County was made up of Father Rice and several judges, several council people. It was made up of a diverse group of people so that each one of us brought something to it, and then we would decide how the money was to be dispersed.
Father Rice was a figure that you heard about so much in the 30s and the 40s.
Yes. Well, he was a member of that crime commission at the time that I was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other maybe colorful people that you've known, or what was maybe some funny experiences that happened in council, maybe?
Well, the things in council are not funny.
No.
They aren't to me.
They're not.
Now they're dead earnest. There were a lot of things happened. One year, a group of women went, in connection with the Federation, we had a meeting in Westmoreland County. And we had arranged to have a meeting. We took a busload of women from Pittsburgh there to this meeting. When we got there, the kitchen had closed down. People were mad and left. So we went in the kitchen and cooked all the meals and cooked everything, served everybody on a bus, because we took them there. We thought that's all we had to. And we often talk about that.
Uh-huh.
There's so many little things. Gee, so much I can't begin to remember everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm. So, when do you run for re-election?
In 88. But in 88, that's when the city is going to run by district. That will be in 88, we're going to run for election by district. That's when my term is up, and that's when we'll run. But you have to have been a resident of the neighborhood that you're going to run in at least a year. And that's why I'm moving right away, so that I will have been in the district long enough. So that I will run in 88 for another 4-year term.
How about your opponent, Michelle?
Same thing.
She's going to move too?
Yes, she lives in Mount Washington. She's going to move too. Now, there may be a lot of other people who run as well. I don't know who else is going to run.
First, you run in the primary.
Mm-hmm. That's tantamount to being elected, because you run against the Republican. You know, the registration is 5-1. If you win the Democratic primary, you're in.
I asked you this question before, and you did answer it. Do you think that will be reversed?
Well, I think when they see, and of course maybe I'm wrong, but I can be proven wrong, but I think after it's in effect for a couple of years, I think they'll reverse it. They'll go back to the polls and vote to get back to it. Because that happened in St. Louis, and it happened in another western city.
But it's the minority who want this. Are they strong enough to have it continue?
Well, I think they're going to find out that they're going to be the ones that suffer the most, because they're the ones that need the most. And I am not going to care about Homewood or the Hill. I'm only going to be interested in where I'm getting elected. I'm speaking for any council person that runs. They know where they're going to get elected in an area, and that's the area they're going to be worried about. And it's going to be tough for the areas that need the most, like Homewood and the Hill, parts of the north side, where they may have a black representative, but it's going to be ineffective. For one thing, he or she will be new in the job. And again, we get back to what I said. It always helps to know, to have been somewhere for a long time and know. So there were a lot of influential blacks who were not for it because they could see the pitfalls. But I think they were led down the primrose path, and I think that a lot of, they fed a lot of ballyhoo, and I think they'll find after a couple of years that maybe at large is best for them.
Well, we hope that happens.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
What about the drug problem? in... Does city council have any like plans or...
Not really. We fund the public safety department. Now, the chairman of the public safety committee is Jack Wagner. He's another councilman. That's his committee. He's primarily responsible for that. But we fund them in a budget, and we set up funds for special narcotics agents, and we put this all in the budget for them. The whole police system is rather hush-hush, you know. I mean, I, for one, never pry into it, because we have good people in the police department, and they know how to operate. I don't, and I trust their judgment.
Well, now, I have sort of come to the end of my question, so I'm just wondering if there's... maybe you can tell us about your daughter and if she went to college and her family.
But now, my daughter, no, she was never college material, and she never went to college. She met the man she married. He was recruited from his college to work for Conrail and brought to Pittsburgh, and that's where she met him. And they've been married now for 12 years, and I have two grandchildren. She's been a joy all of our life. I'm so lucky to have her.
Mm-hmm.
I have two grandchildren. I just adore her.
Ah, that's nice.
God's been good to me.
Mm-hmm. So, can you think of any other questions? That's right.
We want to thank you for your time.
Oh, not at all. I should be thanking you, because I can't believe that there's anything that anybody would care about, really.
Well, I think that people will care and find it interesting. So we thank you very much.
For your great